The longest war in U.S. history has gotten more deadly over the last month. Recent attacks in Afghanistan have left hundreds dead. They're being blamed on the Taliban and ISIS. But Afghan officials said this week that the attackers were trained in Pakistan, where Taliban leaders roam free. President Trump made similar claims and announced last month that he's cutting off all security aid to Pakistan. Isis Ahmad Chowdhury is Pakistan's ambassador to the United States. He joins us now from his office in Washington. Ambassador Chowdhury, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I want to start with this spate of deadly attacks in Afghanistan that has left more than 200 people dead in the last month. A lot of people pointing the finger at Pakistan. Is that fair?
Well, we condemn those attacks. The innocent lives have been lost. Our foreign minister was in Afghan embassy in Islamabad, and we commiserate with the people and government of Afghanistan. But we also would like to express our disappointment that anything that happens in Afghanistan, no matter what, the only reaction that we hear from Kabul is to blame Pakistan. And I think externalizing your own problems will not help that government deal with the issue at hand.
So you do not think that that's true, that Pakistan bears some blame here?
Absolutely not. Pakistan does not want any violence or terrorism in Afghanistan. In fact, we have suffered from the instability in Afghanistan. We are the only country that will benefit the most, apart from the people of Afghanistan, if peace returns to Afghanistan. Why would we support any element that would destabilize Afghanistan and in turn bring that instability to Pakistan?
Do you think that the Taliban should give up its fight in Afghanistan? Are you willing to go that far? Would Pakistan want that?
Absolutely. I think our message to Taliban is very, very clear. Violence and terrorism under any pretext is not acceptable. They must go to Afghanistan and join the political mainstream.
Now, you say the Afghan officials are unfairly criticizing Pakistan, but it's not just Afghanistan. The NATO Secretary General said Taliban bases in Pakistan pose a big challenge to peace in the region. And of course, President Trump and other U.S. officials say Pakistan has given safe haven to terrorists, including the Taliban and the Haqqani network.
Well, I was referring to the knee-jerk reaction in Kabul to blame everything on Pakistan. Afghanistan is a major complex problem now. There are so many aspects of it. There are governance issues. There are corruption issues. There is a booming drug trade. And therefore, we have been saying that instead of blaming us, I think work with Pakistan. Pakistan wants to help. It gives the impression to us as if Pakistan is being scapegoated for the failures in Afghanistan. In Pakistan, there's a big contrast between the situation in Pakistan and situation in Afghanistan in the last 3 years. If you see the last 3 years in Pakistan, the terrorists are on the run and the law and order situation has improved in Pakistan. Economy is booming. Whereas in Afghanistan, exactly the opposite has happened. And to the best of my information, bulk of the Afghan leadership, which is Taliban and Haqqani leadership, are now in Afghanistan. Why would they stay in Pakistan where Pakistan is breathing down their neck?
So you say work with us. What do you think the solution is to the violence in Afghanistan?
I think the solution is to have a comprehensive political approach and engage in a genuine political dialogue between
with
all
the
Afghan
Taliban
factions. We don't want to be party to it. We think that it should be between Afghan government and all Afghan factions. The Taliban must be made to be part of that process. We tried it twice, Jeremy. We did it once in 2015. The second time, the four nations, Pakistan, Afghanistan, United States, and China came together. And in May, when we set out to meet all the Taliban, all of us four, to persuade them that they must give up violence, the Taliban leader was killed in a drone strike. So I think the Taliban are not ready to listen to Pakistan. Our influence on them has eroded because twice we brought them with whatever influence we had. And now they are leaving our country and we have that much less influence on them.
As you know, Mr. Ambassador, in his first tweet of the year, President Trump wrote, "The United States has foolishly given Pakistan more than $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years, and they have given us nothing but lies and deceit." What is the state right now of Pakistan's relationship with the Trump administration, which you're on the front lines of?
Well, we would like to have good relations with the United States. There's no doubt about it. The two countries have worked together for 7 decades, and we think that it would be a mistake to squander that relationship. Both countries have benefited from that relationship, and if that relationship goes down, I think both countries are going to lose. The tweet, it was received with great disappointment because Pakistan and United States have worked together for such a long time, and to, you know, measure it only in terms of dollars and cents was an unfair treatment. And surprised because we were already having conversations with the U.S. Secretary Mattis was in Pakistan, earlier Secretary Tillerson was in Pakistan. We were having those conversations. The idea was to use the words of Secretary Mattis, find that common ground where two countries have to work. I think the direction should be to find common grounds and not engage in any coercive or disrespectful relationship. Pakistan believes in a relationship which should be based on mutual respect and mutual trust, and I think that's where the future should lie.
But if the Trump administration is going to withhold this $2 billion in military assistance, do you expect Pakistan to just go to China and Russia to get what it needs?
Well, first of all, we challenge these figures. I don't know where these figures have come from. There is a component called CSF, which is a reimbursement of the expenses that Pakistan had made in pursuit of shared objectives of countering terrorism. And that money has been held $1 billion or so in the last 2-3 years. And I think that is payable to Pakistan, but that has been withheld. The second is the security cooperation, which if United States does not want, then of course there'll be other options that Pakistan will be approaching to.
Do you think there would be any strings attached with those other options if you are to form a stronger relationship, let's say, with China?
Well, we believe that no relationship should be like a transaction, like a commercial relationship. I think it's when you have relationships, they should be based on commonality of objectives, on points of convergence rather than points of divergence, or as if you pay something and you get something. I don't think it is a mercantile relationship.
But some people would look at China's relationship with Pakistan and say it is exactly that. There are reports in the Chinese media that China is planning to build a naval base near a strategic Pakistani port. And there's also the China-Pakistan corridor, the railway network, which is currently under construction.
There is no China naval base on or off Pakistan's shores. That is absolutely not correct. Gwadar port is a commercial port, and it will serve to connect Western China with Pakistan. And along the route, there'll be special economic zones. We have invested hugely in infrastructure and energy. Our energy deficits are gone. Our infrastructure is building. And now our economy will be booming. And let me tell you, a number of companies from all across the world, not just China, but from Turkey and Europe and Korea and also corporate America are going there in Pakistan to reap from the economic bonanza that is going to happen, inshallah, there.
I want to ask you about one more thing, and that is, of course, India. Do you see a moment right now when Pakistan and India can start having serious talks about things beyond Kashmir?
I think there is no other way but for India and Pakistan to talk and resolve their issues peacefully. India has not been talking to Pakistan. Every time Pakistan and India come together, some militants come forward and do bad things, and India suspends the dialogue. And I tell my Indian friends, look, you are doing exactly what these militants want to do, which is to separate us, to push us away from each other. We are neighbors. We need good neighborly relationship, and therefore we should actually continue to talk and continue to cooperate to squeeze the space for these militants and isolate them. But India somehow is not fully convinced of that, and therefore they have suspended all dialogue with Pakistan.
Are you concerned at all that India's leader, Narendra Modi, seems to have a pretty good relationship with President Trump?
Well, India and the United States are two independent countries. They are free to make whatever relationship they want to have. But of course, I think U.S. leaning towards India is, it should not be at the expense of Pakistan, nor should it embolden the Indian government to take any aggressive measures against Pakistan.
That's Aizaz Ahmad Chowdhury, who is the Pakistani ambassador to the United States. Mr. Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us.
Sir, thank you very much for having me.